720 WGN. Good evening, John Landecker. Thank you so much for joining our little two-hour sojourn from now until 10. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, let's get right to it. Time's a-wasting. Hey, great, John. Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man. How you doing, Herb?
John Rickers Landecker, good to be with you.
Always good to be with you, Herb. Let's get right to it. The articles.
Got it.
What we want to talk about is now the time. I feel like I'm John McLaughlin. What was that show with John, the Washington Group or something? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The McLaughlin Group.
The McLaughlin. It's a time to talk about. Let's talk about it right now. Okay. electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Is now the time to buy?
Well, it's certainly a great time to be interested in buying an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
Because gasoline prices are through the roof, and manufacturers are coming out with a lot more vehicles. As I point out in my article for checkbook.org, you might want to wait just a little bit because prices are going to come down, selection is going to go up, and as our friends at Consumer Reports always recommend, it's probably not the best to buy a model for the first year of production. Let them work the bugs out. But there are certainly a lot coming down the road that I would love to talk to you about.
Well, let us do that. Although I would like to add here at the top that a FedEx van, you probably heard this, an electric FedEx van traveled 260 miles on one charge, allegedly breaking a world record. Went from New York.
You know what?
Yeah.
They still didn't knock on the door when the package was there. They still just dropped it off at your doorstep. And it's like, would it kill them to knock on the door for crying out loud?
I mean, it's not like you're just going to turn around and go back, because now your battery's dead.
Right. Well, you know, that's one of the big questions that people have with electric vehicles. You know, am I going to run out? Am I going to be stranded? And the answer to the question is, it's actually getting much better. You don't have as much range anxiety, so to speak, as you might have before. According to the folks at the DetroitBureau.com, it's a great website that covers all kinds of auto things. They say that right now for vehicles that 253 and 300 miles is the low-end range of the new vehicles coming to market, and 350 and 400 is getting to be the high end. There's some brand new models. There's one called Lucid, which is going to be a real high end vehicle, and that promises to get 520 miles per charge. Tesla's Model S, a long range plaid plus, a range plus, already goes more than 400 miles a charge. So it's getting easier to go longer distances with the vehicle. There are going to be more charging stations put up, part of Biden's program that Congress passed $1 billion to put these things in the next 5 years all along the interstate highways. And a survey by AAA showed that 95% of people who had an electric vehicle, this was done 2 years ago, 95% said that they never ran out of a charge while they were driving, and there are a lot more charging stations around than there were 2 years ago. So I think that's becoming less and less an issue. If you're driving around in South Dakota and Wyoming and Montana or Mississippi, and who knows why in the world you'd want to be driving around there, right, John? I mean, come on. It could be a challenge to find a place to recharge, but in general, it's getting easier and easier to find.
Well, that's been the question since the very beginning. Number one, how far can I go on a charge?
Yep.
Number two, how long will it take to recharge?
Mm-hmm.
And number three, how much is this vehicle going to cost? You used the term high end, and Teslas, when they first came out, I think would definitely qualify as high end.
Oh, in most cases, they still are.
But there are models, though, aren't there, that now, not to say that $30,000 is nothing, but am I wrong in saying that there are some electric vehicles that hover around that price mark?
Well, they're going to be a great deal of them. Yes, Honda and General Motors have a joint venture to produce entry level EVs, and they just announced earlier this month that they're going to produce even more. So there should be a bunch of vehicles coming out in the next couple of years from both companies to start under $30,000. So that's really good news. And while you're right, $30,000 is nothing. With the average vehicle selling today, it's something like $45,000 or something like
$45,600. At least.
$30,000 is a pretty good. Yeah, according to Edmunds, the average vehicle is $45,600. and in February, and the average EV was 60,000. And you know, some of the high end EVs are now gone for 100,000, 125,000. So yes, 30,000 is pretty good. And you know, for people who are still afraid of that range anxiety and want to go part way but not all the way, sort of tip their toes in the water, so to speak, there still are going to be a whole lot of really good plug-in hybrids, or you know, hybrids where you have a little gas tank and you get a battery vehicle that takes you a great part of the distance. So for people who only maybe, you know, my commute when I used to go downtown Seattle was 13 miles each way, right. I would be able to go back and forth totally on electric, but I'd have that gas in case I need to go out of my way and do something, and you know, probably wouldn't use it 9 out of 10 times or maybe even more. But that's sort of a way to split the difference. As you mentioned, charging, most people will do it home at night, and in some parts of the country, and as this becomes more widespread, electric utilities will probably offer discounts for people who set up their charging automatically to happen at night when the demands on the power grid are lower. So I think we're going to be seeing that. And again, the electric chargers, they're going to be one set up, and there are some of now where you could charge in 60 minutes, in some cases maybe even quicker. If you pay the premium price, you're getting more juice more quickly. But again, you could go in to your 7-Eleven and get something, or go into a restaurant, have something to eat, and by the time you're done, your vehicle will be charged up. And maybe it doesn't need to be totally charged, just enough to get you to home where you'll charge up later cheaper. But I think that's another stumbling block that is getting taken care of as well.
And you hit on, I think, a very important point. What does the owner of this vehicle intend to use it for? Like you said, okay, I've got a short commute between point A and point B. That's all I'm going to be doing for 95% of my driving, or maybe let's say 80% of my driving for the entire year. Mm-hmm. So that would make economical sense to do that. It would seem to me. I'm just off the top of my head.
Yep.
I mean, because you're not paying you're not paying anything for gas, period.
Right. Correct.
And I'm assuming oil or anything else is, or maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
No, maintenance is a lot cheaper because you don't have to change fluids. There's no fluids to change. Your brakes last a lot longer because these electric vehicles have what's called regenerative braking, whereas your braking, it's actually charging up the battery somewhat. So you don't have the braking problems. There's a lot less complexity, a lot less parts to this thing. So, yes, Consumer Reports did their analysis, and they found that EVs save 60% in fuel costs and 50% in maintenance costs when compared to gas-powered vehicles. Or if you do the math, which I asked them to do for me, with today's gas prices, EV owners could save between $1,800 to $2,600 in operating and maintenance costs for every 15,000 miles they drive compared to a gas-powered vehicle. So the savings can be really amazing. By the way, did you see the article in Checkpoint? Have you looked at the picture in the story or not? Have you seen the F-150, the Ford?
I have seen a picture of the F-150, and that was
with
the next
trunk?
I think so. Did I? Maybe I missed something.
Oh well, the front of the new F-150, there's no engine. So
of course not.
You get a front trunk, a frunk.
Well,
and the FCC says I can use that word on your broadcast. Frunk is okay.
Good.
But and my friend Paul Eisenstein, who's a fairly big guy, tall, and he wrote a story about this. He got inside the frunk. I mean, he can fit inside this thing. So, I mean, this F-150 Lightning, I mean, this is the most popular selling truck in America. This is, you know, rugged people buy these vehicles. They're going to take them off-road and, you know, take the hay around to feed the horses, or just to be, you know, urban cowboys. And they sold so many of the things, they're going to increase production. I mean, that's how popular, if you make a really cool electric vehicle. And some of these new models are absolutely unbelievable, you know, that they're going to be. The New York Auto Show, the International Auto Show in New York last month, they had the World Car of the Year award. All three nominees, John, were EVs. The Ford Mustang, Mach-E, the Kia EV6, and the Hyundai Ioniq 5, which won the award. I mean, that's never happened before, and that shows you where the world is. They're turning onto electric.
And if you don't mind, if I can throw something in.
You certainly can.
The news guy?
Yes, it is.
That's what we call him anyway. He likes to be called the news guy.
But it's getting more interesting because GM this week announced that I believe it's next year they're going to come out with an electrified Corvette.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
And in the pipeline is a Corvette EV.
You want to know something? if you take that EV Corvette, if they actually make it, and you start on a, if you go to a drag strip where the regular gasoline EV,
the EV will beat it.
Hands down,
easily.
Because if you haven't driven one, it's like it's on or off. Kind of, I mean, you hit right. that, you get full throttle if you want. Right. It's not this warm up the pistons. It's boom.
You're gone.
Some of the vehicles do 0 to 60 in 2 seconds.
Yes, and there's no noise. All right, we're going to have to take a break. We don't have to. Well, yeah, I guess we do have to.
Got to make some money.
Herb Weissbaum, the consumer man, is with us. We've got more to talk about, and we'll do that when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. It's 822. We're talking with Herb Weissbaum, the consumer man. Herb, you have a podcast, yes?
Yes, I do the podcast Consumerpedia for checkbook.org. And by the way, for the topic we were just talking about, the last episode deals with electric vehicles, a half-hour chat with the folks from the DetroitBureau.com and Consumer Reports. So if you're interested in that topic, you might want to check it out, Consumerpedia.org.
I know there's something else we want to talk about, but something. What about the supply chain for the electric parts that are needed in electric vehicles? Is there something? I heard that Volkswagen in Germany stopped production on a assembly line because they couldn't get what they needed out of Ukraine, in some sort of electrical.
Well, there are supply chain problems with all vehicles and with some of the battery components. And yes, there's going to be some problems because of some of the materials that are coming out of both Russia and Ukraine.
Right.
So they're doing some jiggling around. I'm not sure really where things are with that. But yes, that's going to be something to watch down the road that they're able to produce. That whole thing is going to create so many supply chain problems. And also with China, you know, the ports being closed up because of COVID. We're still in for a very rough ride because of all the supply chain problems. Absolutely.
Well, if that's not enough, let's move to fraud alert with cryptocurrency. Now, you know, when I heard of this cryptocurrency thing, it struck me as a scammer's delight because it doesn't really exist physically. Therefore, it seemed to me that that would make it easier to fool somebody, or maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there's a lot of problems with cryptocurrency, just the basic fact that we're in this gold rush fever frenzy right now, that everybody wants to get rich quick, and they're, you know, this FOMO, the fear of missing out, this FOMO that, you know, oh, I missed the gold rush, I didn't buy Microsoft stock, I didn't buy Google stock, you know, I'm not going to miss this last one, so I got to get in on it. The problem isn't per se with cryptocurrency, which is a risky form of investment, period, bottom line, end of story, and we could talk more about that later. The problem is that the criminals are cashing in on this desire for so many people, this greed to get rich quick, that what they're doing is they're setting up scam products in order to get people's money, and they're very, very sophisticated now. In many cases, they are using social media, and they're also using internet technology to fool people. On the story that we posted on Checkbook, John, I have an actual text message that somebody was sent, and this it's like so brazen what it says here. It says that we guarantee that if you give us $300, you'll get back $6,700 the next day, $400 and $8,500 profit daily, and $500, $10,000 profit daily. Now, if I walked up to you in the streets of Chicago and said, Mr. Landecker, could you give me $300? I'll give you $6,700 back tomorrow. You'd go, get the hell out of my way, Buster, and keep on walking. But this comes in on your social media or comes in on your phone, and for some reason we believe it, like there's some digital police that make sure these things are right or something. I don't know what the deal is, but people are believing this.
Or they also use internet celebrities to hype their stuff on social media. Because I believe one of the Kardashians was hauled into court for that.
But
not for being a criminal.
No, but it was they appeared in ads talking up this particular product on that.
Yeah, but she didn't say, Kardashian didn't say, hi there, my name is Kim Kardashian, you give me $300.
It's the idea that they will also use social media influencers to get people to put their money into stuff.
Well, yeah, not these guys. We're not these guys. We're talking. We're talking absolute criminals. Now, the fact that everybody's talking about cryptocurrency and the fact that it was on the Super Bowl, and that's what's. We're talking absolute crooks who are in other countries. They're not paying Kim Kardashian. That's a whole nother issue, unfortunately. But what these guys are doing is they're becoming your friends on Facebook, and then they're telling you that they're making it rich. They're getting really rich from investing in cryptocurrency, and they want to share. Now we're good, close, personal friends. You know, you, me, and John, and the news guy. And I want to let you guys in on what a great voice. And I want to let you in on this money because you guys are now my friends. Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll send you a screenshot of how much money I've made, or I'll send you to my bogus website. And the bogus website has all these fake numbers on it to show how much I made in the last couple of weeks. And then you go, okay, I'll give it a try. You send some money, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, you've made some money. And then they suck you in and get more and more, but of course you haven't made any money. And I talked to a victim in Massachusetts. He lost $50,000. Yeah. So his friend told him he'd make huge amount of money. He put in $25,000. To his delight, he made a lot of money very quickly, so he got pressured into putting in another $25,000. Very soon he had $560,000 in his account. So he wanted to take out his initial $50,000 investment. He called up customer service. Yes, these places, these scam places, now have customer service. Oh, one of the reasons why they sound legitimate. And they have working websites that are bogus, but they work. And they told him he would have to take out his entire account. He couldn't just take out the $50,000. And to close out the entire account, he'd have to pay the service charge, the overseas handling fee of $28,000, brand new money. They couldn't take it out of his earnings. He had to take it out brand new, and that's what they do.
And we're going to run out of time here in a minute. What do we do to protect ourselves from this, Herb? I've got like 2 minutes left.
Don't let a friend, a so to speak friend on social media, tell you they've got a great investment. Mm-hmm. By the way, these people now you're talking about testimonials, news guy, they are telling some of these people that if you will do a video testimonial saying how great this website is, we'll give you your money back. So you can help them scam other people. That's how disgusting these people are. But never. It's a risky investment for number one. If you're going to buy it, do something from a legitimate person registered to sell cryptocurrency, like your funny money you're willing to waste, like go to Coinbase or something like that. And don't take any financial advice from a friend or so-called friend on social media. It basically is as simple as that.
And I'm surprised that it still is at the level that it is, because even if it wasn't cryptocurrency, social media has been scamming people on criminals on social media have been scamming for years, and we've talked
according
about
to the
before.
Better Business Bureau, they just issued a white paper report of this, bigger than it's ever been. The number of reports they have doubled between 2019 and 2021. It's absolutely huge.
Exactly. Are you now that Fidelity has decided it's going to include Bitcoin investment in 401k plans?
What this does, it just legitimizes cryptocurrency so that the con artists can scam even more people. That's the whole problem with some cryptocurrency going legitimate. People sort of will say, oh, it's okay now. But you have to be really, really careful. And the con artists are going to use this to their advantage. That's the problem I see.
All right, Herb, thanks a lot. Check him out on the podcast. What is that podcast again?
Consumerpedia.org.